You know, this is baby season. We celebrate the risen Lord during this time. And so we talk about baby Jesus and what he has done and why he was born to die. But, you know, it's also baby season here at Life Point Riverdale. I don't know if you, for those of you who serve in our preschool area, in the baby room down there, there's literally on a whiteboard names of mamas that we're waiting for them to give birth. We're excited about that. And so we're looking forward to that. We want to continue to pray for Zion and Juliana. She is great with child right now, and she's hit that window where it could be any time, so you be in prayer for them. It's also baby season at my house. My grandson was born not too long ago. His name is Grayson. Very, very excited about that. Got another one coming in March, Lord willing. Was very excited about my daughter and her son. You know, giving birth to babies has changed over the years since Amy and I gave birth to babies. I think that, let me rephrase that. Giving birth to babies hasn't changed. It still happens the exact same way. But all of the accoutrements, all the things that it go to be a parent today with newborns has changed, you know? And I'm thankful for that. Listen, I got a daughter-in-law mama right down here, and I want her to be able to do whatever she needs to do so that that little baby is comfortable and they're comfortable. But things have changed. I mean, there's all kinds of new technologies. There's all kinds of things that weren't around when we were having babies at our house, and that you realize that we is not we. That's we, Amy, all right? I remember there's one right now. There's one technology and one gadget that is out there that has, like, it's got to be a game changer for moms and families. It's kind of a bassinet, kind of a hybrid bouncy chair, kind of a hybrid swing. I think it's called a Mamaroo. Somebody's just called it out. They know. That's a mom that knows what's going on. It's like it's Bluetooth connected. I mean, you can hit it and hit this app and it jiggles, it swings, it rocks. I probably could do loop-de-loops for all I know. When we were having babies, we called it a bucket, their car seat. We'd say, put the kid in the bucket, and I was just the swing, you know? I would do this, or we'd go stick the baby in the car, and Mama Roo was a van that drove around the neighborhood for a little bit of time. Any of you ever have those swings? You know, now the swings, they just kind of, they're quiet, nothing happens. Do you remember the crank one that went, and you, just about that time you woke them everybody up? Things have changed with babies, and I'm thankful. That's great. That's great. We need to help these young parents with all of that. But I don't know if you caught it, though, in the reading of the text, Luke chapter 2. Go ahead and turn there if you're not there. Luke chapter 2, there was a term that was used. It wasn't Mamaroo. It was a manger. They didn't, when Jesus, the King of the world, the Son of God, was born in Bethlehem, they didn't have the luxury of a Mamaroo. They had a lowly manger that we sung about just a little while ago. And Luke uses the word manger. Do you know he's the only one in the gospel writers that uses the word manger? And he uses it from Luke 1 to about Luke 2, 1 through about 21, 22, somewhere in there. He uses it three different times. Those of you who have been around here for a while, what do I always tell you? When you see a word repeated, there must be something he's trying to let us see. And so I think today, as we begin to look, as we begin to walk through this passage, there's something that the Lord, Luke specifically, but we know that he was inspired to write this book. So we know the Lord, the Holy Spirit, he has something that he wants us to see. And it's not, I want you to hear this, the word manger is not just a simple detail there. This word carries a lot of meaning for us. It carries something that he wants us to begin to see today. In our home, maybe in your home. In fact, I would probably guarantee in your home, the center of your decoration, the center of like Christmas for your family is probably the Christmas tree, and it's well lit. Some of you go out, you cut it down, you bring it back, you flock it, you fluff it. For us, I go to the attic, I drag it down, and we open it up, and it just kind of flops open. You know what I mean? But we decorate it. We put all kinds of memories on it. But I need you to hear, for us, the Christmas tree is very, very important. It's kind of the thing that where the gifts go. It's where everything kind of centers. But in the scripture, it wasn't a tree. It was a feed trough. It was the place that Jesus was put, where he was when he was born. The Son of God, the King of the world, the one who created the manger, the one who created all the elements, he was himself placed into that. And so what is it that Luke wants us to see as we've walked through, or as we do walk through this today? Well, here's the first thing that I think Luke wants us to see as we're talking about the manger. Hopefully you're going to take some notes today. I think we're going to see some things that maybe we've never seen before in a new way today. The first thing that I think Luke wants to see out of this story of going and telling it on the mountain is that the manger is not a mistake. The manger is not a mistake. Oftentimes, when we read this passage, when we see this or we hear it preached, what we see is that maybe, you know, there was a mistake somewhere. Joseph didn't call ahead. He didn't let them know, hey, we're on our way. Maybe there was something with booking.com. They got it messed up. No, there was no room in the inn, it says. Maybe the innkeeper messed up. I need you to hear me. The manger is not a mistake. I want you to look at Luke 2, and I want you to count. I'm not going to read verses 1 through 7 again. I want you to see it, though, because I'm going to skim over this because there's some things you've got to begin to see that help us to realize it's not a mistake. Number one is this, is that the leader of the known world, Caesar Augustus, the leader of the world, he called for a major world event, not just a national event, a world event, the scriptures tells us. He called for there to be a political census to take place. He called all of these things to happen so that the earthly father of Jesus, the one who was going to raise Jesus, would have to be in the city where it was prophesied long ago, before any of us were around, for them to be there in that very place. He said, listen, all of the men of the world, they're going to have to go back to their hometown. They've got to go back to their lineage hometown so that they can be registered in this census. Now, I want you to catch this. I need you to hear this really well. The manger isn't a mistake. It is not a mistake. The Lord God, the creator of the world, he orchestrated all of these things, all of these events to get his son to be born in the exact location where he desired. Someone has written and said, every day, in every circumstance, God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, but you may only be aware of 3 of them. Do you realize right now in your life, right now in everyone's life, there are so many things that God is doing in and around you that you don't even recognize he's doing. You may recognize about 2 or 3 of them, but he is working in and around your life, and he's using, if he used Caesar, if he used the national census, I need you to know that he uses presidents, he uses elections, he uses pandemics, he uses situations at your home. He uses all of those things because he wants to speak to you. He has something that he wants you to begin to catch that's going on. The scripture tells us, and we know that Joseph and Mary, they lived in a little town called Nazareth, and they had to travel 80 miles up to a small mountain called Bethlehem. Now, to put that in context for you and me, that would be like us having to walk or ride a donkey. Juliana, can you imagine sitting on a donkey right now where you are, full term, ready to go, get 80 miles from here to Crossville? from here to Crossville, going up elevation, walking. This, why did they have to do that? Because the Lord said, listen, every man's got to go to their lineage hometown. And the scripture tells us that Joseph was of the house and the line of David, and the city of David. The city of David was Bethlehem. And so he had to go because he was married to, or he was betrothed. You remember us talking about betrothal a few weeks ago. Because he was married, betrothed to Mary, the angel told him, hey, told Mary and him, this is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph being the man that he was, he took her with him. He took her with him. Look at what verse 6 says. Verse 6 says, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Listen, if you didn't understand the situation, if you weren't even in our time right now looking at it, we could go, wait a minute, is this a cruel joke? What's going on here? Here, this woman, this teenager, sitting on a donkey, walking 80 miles in the middle of a national event, a worldwide event, she's pregnant. Surely there's got to be a mistake here. Listen, mama's not with her. There's no social media post. There's no push gif. There's no time to go get your nails done so that everything looks right. She's riding. He's walking. Dusty roads. Probably took somewhere to 2 to 3 days for them to get there. When she gets there, when they reach there, the scripture tells us there's no room in the inn, but it's not a mistake that there's no room in the inn. This is how God has ordained it. This is how God has planned this before time immortal, that this would take place. There's no place for Mary to lay her head. There's no place for Joseph to shower up and get ready. You know, this may mess up your little nativity at home, but probably it was not a little wooden barn in Bethlehem, a mountainous region. It was probably a cave that he would have been in. A cave that would have been a hollowed out, hewn out cave where the animals would be. What kind of animals would have been there? You probably would have had an ox, maybe a cow, probably some goats, maybe some sheep. It probably was not a wooden structure for a manger. It's more along the lines, historians tell us, it's probably a carved out basin, a stone basin, where they would have put the food, the hay. And it's into this that the scripture tells us that Jesus, the Son of God, he wasn't placed on a nice palace bed. He was set into that feed trough, that manger. But it was no mistake. It was no mistake. You see, the scripture tells us that at the fullness of God, at the fullness of time, God sent his one and only Son. Do you realize that at that moment, the fullness of time, that was the time that was planned before time ever began? This is how God ordained and planned. He moved an empire so that his chosen son, his son of God, the Messiah of the world, would be born in the city of David, the town of Bethlehem, that was foretold long before it ever happened. Turn back with me to the book of Micah in the Old Testament. Turn back to the book of Micah, Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5, beginning in verse 2. This is the prophecy of this very, very night that is taking place. The one that is not a mistake. It says, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrath, the city of David, Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, for from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. Folks, I want to be really, really clear here. The manger was not a mistake. It was the plan of God. It was the plan of God. And some of you in here today, you're sitting in a situation and you're thinking, my life is all screwed up. I've made mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake, and I need you to hear. Our choices and our decisions, listen, we make our choices and decisions, and sometimes they put us in situations that are horrible. But I need you to know, you're not where you are today without the plan ordained, foreordained plan of God. He knew you were going to be there. And where you today are thinking, what has happened? I need you to know, the Lord says, I know where you are. I know what you're walking through. You're not there by accident. I have known this. And I need you to hear me. My hope and my desire today is, whether it's a relational, it's financial, it's medical, whatever it is, you need to hear me. God knows. He knows where you are. He knows what you're walking through. It's not on accident that you're there. It is not a mistake. Okay, I want you to hear this. The manger is not a mistake. So if the manger is not a mistake, then, well, what is it? Well, number two, the manger is a sign. The manger is a sign. Look with me again. I want you to turn back over to look at verse 7. In verse 7, it says, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. After Mary gave birth to Jesus, the one who actually spoke into creation, the cave that he was born into, he's born. The scripture says that she takes swaddling cloth and she wraps him up. Now, one thing, when I was a young dad, my role was, after Amy fed the kids, I was the burper. I knew how to do that well. I had lots of practice at that. I knew how to get that out of them. That's kind of my role. Once that was done, I then swaddled them. Listen, I could create a mummy out of my kids. There's no movement. But somehow, some way, parents, you know this, as tight as you get them, there's always that little hand that somehow makes it out. Listen, the scripture says that she took him and she swaddled him in cloth. You know, when you think about who this was, Jesus Christ, King of the world, the Son of God, you would think maybe his cloth was, maybe it was woven with silk, maybe it was the finest of linen, maybe it was purple and royal for royalty. But the scripture doesn't tell us that. But what we can, I believe, safely assume is, it was just plain swaddling cloth. Why? Because he was a lowly carpenter. She was a teenage girl. They didn't have like a fancy entourage. They walked and rode a donkey. There was no place for them. They were in a stable, a hewn out cave. He was placed in a feed trough. This is what Jesus was about. Listen, I think it was humble beginning so that it would communicate to all of us that it doesn't matter what your status is. It doesn't matter what your status is. Jesus has come for you. He's come to identify with you. In fact, the scripture tells us in Hebrews that we have a high priest who can identify with us in every way. The scripture is going to tell us in just a moment that the shepherds came. You know, the shepherds were the low of the low. They could not even be utilized in the court of law because they were thought to be so crooked they could never tell the truth. See, anyone can come to Jesus. In any mistake that you may find yourself in, you think is a mistake, you can come to Jesus. We're going to know later on, you're going to see a little bit later, where there were three kings. We three kings of Orient are the Magi, we talk about, short for magician. They came from far away. They were rich beyond rich because it took that for them to be able to leave and to travel that far. They came bearing gold and frankincense and myrrh, which you had, I mean, like, that took money to have. And they laid it at his feet. And I want you to hear, I need you to hear, real quick, I need you to hear this. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much you don't have. Jesus has come today, and the situation that you're in is not a mistake. He's brought you here because he has a message for you. All of the things that you're facing, all of the things that you're in the middle of, I want you to know they're a sign for you. They're a sign for you. This is why Jesus has come. The scripture tells us, he says, listen, turn over or look down a few pages or a few verses. Luke 2, I want to look at verses 10, 11, and 12 real quickly. We're going to dive into this more next week, but I want to point out something to you. Notice the shepherds, they're out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. I would sing that, but it would not be good. They're out there, and all of a sudden, an angel bursts forth and says this, fear not, which would be the right thing to tell shepherds. All of a sudden, you see an angel, some sort of being out there. He says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, listen, today, in the mistake, the world that you're sitting in, whatever it is, fear not. Hey, fear not. Because I want you to know, for unto you is born a Savior. What you're walking in right now, fear not. There is a Savior who has been born for you. And where you are right now, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. And everything that he's doing in your life is to point you to Jesus Christ. Look at what he says on verse 12. Verse 12, he says, listen, there's going to be a sign that you're going to see. I think he anticipated that they were going to go. You know what when he broke forth, this is what they're doing. The Advent has come. Who you've been longing for, who you have heard the priests talk about, all the prophets that have prophesied throughout the hundreds of years, he's here. The Messiah has come. He is here today. The one you've anticipated. That's what Advent is all about. It's the anticipation. He's here. And notice what it says in verse 12. The angel says, and this will be a sign for you. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. What's the sign? What's the sign? Well, listen, I want you to know, it's not the swaddling cloths. You know why? Because every baby that would have been born on that night or any night around that would have been swaddled. Because that's what you do with babies. But he's the only one that would be born and placed into a feed trough. And he says, listen, you want to find him? You look for the baby that's been swaddled and he's in a feed trough. That's where you're going to find him. Pastor, theologian, author John Piper says this, no other king anywhere in the world was lying in a feed trough. Find him and you find the King of Kings. Every sign, everything that's going on in your life is meant to point you to Jesus. I want to do a thought exercise with you for a moment. I want you to think about this morning, you getting up, getting dressed, and getting in your car. And oftentimes when we go someplace that is familiar, we just kind of turn off and we just end up there. You ever been like that? It's kind of scary, isn't it? But I want you to think about all of the signs, literally the signs between where you live and here. You know what signs do, don't you? They communicate something to you. They point you to something. Some of you passed Hardee's and you're thinking, oh, chicken biscuit, I'll get that. Some of you today, you passed the 30-mile-an-hour sign and thought, oh, I need to back off this 55. You didn't, but you thought about it for a second. You thought about the sign that says detour, detour, turn here, turn here. You see, signs are meant to point you in the direction. This manger was a sign. It was a sign. Ladies and gentlemen, I get worked up over this stuff, but I need you to hear me. What you're in right now is not a mistake. It is a sign to you to point you to Jesus as the only one who can fix what you're in. And some of you feel like you're drowning. You feel like you're up to here, and I don't know how to get out of it. I need you to hear me. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, though all of our actions have consequences, I need you to hear me. Jesus is the answer for where you are today. That situation is a sign. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Nothing can change without Jesus. For some of you in here today, someone's literally sent you a sign. They gave you a card. They called you. They sent you a Facebook message. You drove down this road. I can't tell you how many times I hear people say, I drove by this building and I saw this sign and finally thought I'd come in. You were Googling churches and there's a Life Point Riverdale. There was a website you went on. It was a sign. Folks, I need you to hear me. You're here today in this very room because the Lord has been sending you signs and you responded somehow. And he's brought you here. You've tried to put your faith in all kinds of things. Money, finances, your job, your self-sufficiency. And I need you to know, all of these things are pointing you today to Jesus Christ as your only hope. He was born in a manger, not by mistake. It was a sign to point us to the one true God of the universe who stepped out of heaven. He stepped out of heaven so that you and I might know him, might know the Messiah. This is why he's come. So if it's not a mistake and it has a and it's a sign, then what is it a sign of? Well, number three, and I quickly close, is that the manger has a message. This manger has a message. I've said this already, but I want to repeat it again because I think it's worth repeating, is that from the beginning of time, the manger has always been in the mind of God. Always been in the mind of God. The redemption story of Jesus coming to earth, I want to make sure, listen, that's not a reaction to a rebellion. God already knew that was going to happen, and he planned that manger long before there was ever a rebellion. Before there was a tree in the garden, there was a manger in the mind of God. I wish I could explain that to you. I wish I had the words, but what I know is that Jesus has told us he has come. And the manger carries the message of the Messiah for you and me. He is the hope of the world, wherever you are today. Jesus didn't come into the world with a gallant parade. There wasn't military triumph. Did you realize there weren't military sentinels standing guard at that cave? You know who was standing guard? Cows and sheep and probably some dogs. Maybe a camel or two. They were the ones that were standing around. They were the ones watching. Joseph thinking, okay, Gabriel told me this was going to happen, and here we go. This is the message that Jesus has come to save. You see, he never was designed for an earthly palace. Listen, when you've had the heavenly realms, it far outweighs whatever we have here. Notice what Philippians says, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, it says this, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in a stable, in a manger, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You see, Jesus came in full humility. Why? So that he might be accessed by all. So that all who will come all who will come. This is why Jesus was in the city of David. This is why God moved heaven and earth. This is why God caused a national world event so that his son, the son of God, the sinless son of God, would be born right there in Bethlehem. You know, when we think about the Christmas story, I love Joseph, I love Mary, I love the Magi, I love the angels. Hark the herald angels. I love thinking about what that could have been like. I love the part of the story where even though it's a little bit later, the wise men from the east come and they talk to Herod. I mean, all of that story is incredible. I love reading about that. But what we cannot miss in the midst of all of this is that God took on human flesh. His one and only son, Jesus Christ, came and was born in a cave, in a manger, a feed trough. He became one of us so that we might become one with him by laying our life down. Not physically the way Jesus did. Jesus is the one. He was my substitute. He laid his life on a cross. I lay my life down and say, Jesus, I trust in you. This is why he came. This is the message that he came to deliver to us in that manger. The word manger, you know, the word manger comes from a Greek word that means to eat. I'm not a really good language person, but when we lived in Belgium, I wanted to learn how to say eat really bad because I eat a lot. Do you know what the word is? Manger, spelt M-A-N-G-E-R. I want you to catch this. If you're asleep right now, wake up. Because I need you to hear this. The sinless Son of God was placed into a feed trough where the ones that he created would come to eat. Do not miss that the fact that Jesus says in John 6:35 that he is the bread of life. And all of us who come to him and we eat, we will never hunger again. We will never thirst again. Do you realize where he was born is a town called Bethlehem in Hebrew, which means the house of bread. God had his one and only son go to the city of bread to be born into a feed trough where we could come and eat of him. And that's what he calls us to today. It is of no coincidence that he was born in a hewn out cave. And yet he was placed in a hewn out cave on the day that he died. It is of no coincidence that he was swaddled in cloth on the day that he was born, and he was wrapped in a linen shroud on the day they laid him in the tomb. Jesus, the first time he rode a donkey, he was in the womb. Do you know the last time he rode a donkey? He was headed to his tomb. And folks, this is the Jesus that's calling you today. See, the manger isn't a mistake. The manger was a sign to point to the message that Jesus has come to save us. And what is it that we go and tell? What do we go tell on the mountain? What do we go tell our neighbors? What do we go tell our friends? What do we go tell our family? Messiah has come. And he was born in a manger. That, my friends, is love. That, my friend, is love. You see, he was born to die. And today he calls us to live by eating of him. Some of you, you've been eating out of the pig pen, just like the prodigal. And today he's brought you here as a sign to wake you up to go, I need to go back home to my Father. There is food galore. Some of you, you've been so far away from him. You've been so far away from him. And all of the signs have brought you here today to hear the message that he loves you. He sent his son. He wants to forgive you. The mess you think you're in the middle of, it may be a mess, but I need you to know Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Folks, I get fired up over this. This season isn't just about presents, and boy, I love presents. But it's about a baby who was born to die so that we might have life. Father, I love you and I thank you. I ask that today you would take our feeble, humble efforts today, our attempt to sing to you rightly, our attempt to read the scripture rightly, our attempt to give you back what is rightly owed rightly. And I'm asking, Jesus, that you would save people today. I'm asking that you would save them from their sin of unbelief and that they would turn to you as Savior and Lord. I'm asking that those who have surrendered their life to you, that you would save them from going back to dirty wells. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for the message of salvation. We thank you for the message of hope. We honor you today. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things today. Amen. Won't you stand with me all over the room? You can stand. You don't have to bow your heads or close your eyes today. I want you to look around. I want you to be moving to what it is that God's called you to. I do get a little fired up sometimes. It's not anger. It's just, Jesus, do you realize he is everything? And so today, as we sing this final song, a song you know, we're going to sing about manger. We're going to sing about a manger. You know the song. I would ask that you sing it in a way like you've never sung it before. I'm going to ask you to, at the top of your lungs, maybe you need to come get on your knees. Maybe you want to talk. I'll be out in the foyer in a few moments. I'd love to talk with you. Whatever it is that the Spirit's speaking to you about, would you move today? Be obedient to him. Zion, you come and lead us right.